time of hearing God's word for us in Psalm 91. I want to invite you to go on a journey with me to a favorite place, to the St. Gregory's Abbey, which is a Benedictine monastery located in Three Rivers, Michigan, a small town just north of the Indiana border. I attended St. Gregory's Abbey for a number of years for retreats, and it's a special place for me. So now you've come with me there, and as guests at the monastery, we hear the bell ring about 7:30 at night. It's dark. It's time for Compline, the closing service of the monastic day, which begins very early in the morning with lauds and goes on throughout the day, one service after the next as the day progresses, finally coming to its close with this service of Compline. We enter the chapel of the monastery and we sit in the back where guests like us are to be. And after just a few minutes, the monks come in dressed in their traditional Benedictine black robes, and they go to their places, their stalls, around the front of the church. The service of Compline begins with familiar words and songs and psalms. And about halfway through, we find Psalm 91, repeated, actually sung by the monks every day, 365 days of the year, at the close of their day. And so we lift our voices tentatively, we don't sing well like they do, to share this psalm with the monks and bring our day to the close as well. So with that context for this psalm, listen to the words of Psalm 91. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. No scourge shall come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call on me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. This morning I want to talk about foundations. When it comes time to build a building, the first thing that happens is people start to dig. They dig down into the ground, and they dig for pilings and foundations to be set deep into the earth. The foundation is a combination of the human effort of those who dig and set pilings and pour concrete, and the stable strength of the planet on which we live. And the taller the building, the deeper the foundations must be dug, so that skyscrapers, the tallest buildings, must be anchored into the very bedrock of the planet. Now, on the average day, what the workers did, how the earth is around the foundation, isn't really very important to us. That foundation's not doing very much, just sort of sitting there. On nice days, we don't even know whether the foundations are strong or weak. But when the winds rise and the storms blow up, the strength of the foundation then makes a real difference. When the earth trembles, it's that connection between the building and the planet, the rock, that can determine whether the building stands or falls. Anything that challenges the stability and integrity of the building shows us whether the foundations are strong or weak. Now, I'm talking about foundations this morning because I have no idea what a buckler is. Anybody here know what a buckler is? In Psalm 91, there are all these images about God's strength and the way that God protects us and sustains us through the challenges of life, which I don't relate to very well. I don't know what a buckler is. Kathy apparently does. Folks at the first service do, because I told them. Bible scholars say that a buckler is a small shield that you wear on your arm if you're a soldier. It's used in addition to the very large shield that's carried by your shield bearer. Okay, I know nothing about shields or bucklers. And the psalm mentions the pestilence that stalks in darkness. Well, Bible scholars again say that that refers to some kind of a goblin or some kind of evil spirit that people feared in the night in the time of the psalmist. And even though we're heading into the Halloween season, I don't know much about pestilences that stalk in darkness. There's the image of 1,000 falling at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. It takes us to a scene of a horrible battle, with huge armies of soldiers engaged in hand-to-hand combat, slaughtering one another. An image, an experience that, thankfully, I don't know much about. Even the kinder image of a mother hen sheltering her chicks under her wings to keep them warm and safe and dry in a rainstorm. That's a wonderful maternal image, but on my best days, my mom did surely not have any pinions. So I wanted to find an image that we all can relate to. We are worshiping together today in a building that has foundations. Some of us saw them being poured. And our houses have foundations too, although we may not know very much about them. The buildings in which we work have foundations. If we work down in the city, those skyscrapers have foundations that are anchored to bedrock. And so I think we can add a verse to this psalm without deviating from its message. I wrote it. This is my verse. I'm not a poet like the psalmist. The Lord is the foundation of my life. God's strength and God's love support me when I face difficulties, when challenges make me afraid. The theme of our sermon series for this fall reminds us of the work of the Long Range Planning Committee last year. Their vision of Wildwood Church was summarized in three phrases, which you see on that banner right there. Reach up, reach in, and reach out. Today I am suggesting that when we reach in, reach deep down into our spirits, we can touch the foundations on which we are building our lives. That foundation is the connection we have with God. That foundation was built in the past and is sustained or weakened every day by the choices we make, by the way we live. So think with me for a moment about those times in your life which connected you with God which anchored you strongly into God's power and God's love for you. Perhaps our foundations of faith began sitting on the lap of a loving person in a church nursery. I don't remember it, but I'm sure that's what happened to me. My dad was the pastor of the Lake Nokomis Presbyterian Church in Minneapolis. I'm sure I was in that nursery every Sunday. We may have attended Sunday school and been fascinated by the stories of Moses and the burning bush, or Jesus feeding the 5,000. Maybe confirmation really confirmed our faith. Feeling the hands of people we love on our heads and on our shoulders. Standing to join the whole congregation in singing, "Here I am, Lord." Now, in our young adult years, perhaps we had a literal mountaintop experience carrying a backpack. Or maybe we went on a mission trip and had an unforgettable moment of caring with sweat running down our faces. Maybe there was a Lenten communion service where we got it for the very first time what that cross on the table means. As life progressed, we may have felt deeply blessed or touched by God's Spirit when we got married or had a child, when a child was a part of a children's pageant on Christmas Eve, or when the tenebrae of gathering darkness on Good Friday told us about our loves, our Lord's passion for us. We may have had moments of awareness of gifts that were placed in our hands just at the very time when we needed them most, or times when we were given strength beyond our own to turn away from a temptation or a bad choice. With full maturity, we may have discovered in ourselves a deep assurance of who we are and whose we are. Now, I recognize that my list of spiritually grounding experiences almost assumes that you are like me in being a Presbyterian-style Christian since the day you were born. That's not true for all of you. Some of you were born into some other faith tradition, found your way to Presbyterianism at some point in your life. Some of you claimed your place in the family of God because of some kind of life crisis, some difficult transition that came upon you and drove you to your knees, recognizing that your foundations were crumbling. You knew that you had to rebuild them. Or perhaps you simply felt a deep hunger and longing in your soul and knew that you needed to come to Jesus and be fed the bread of life. For some of us, our Christian journey has continued for decades. For others, just a few years or a few months. But however long it has been since you claimed your place among the disciples of Jesus, it was the Spirit of God connecting with your spirit, anchoring you in God's love, that brought you to this place today. In the same way that the foundations of this building anchor it to the earth. I told you just a few minutes ago about the monks of St. Gregory's Abbey, because those times that I spent visiting their community and sharing in their life of worship and prayer, they're a strong part of my spiritual foundations. I can return to that quiet chapel in my mind. I can remember thoughtful walks through the woods that surround the monastery. I can ask myself, what would Abbot Andrew say if I presented him with a spiritual challenge in my life and hear his clear and kind words? I can think of the monks closing their day with the psalms and the prayers of the ancient service of Compline. And that may move me to close my days with at least a moment of connection with God. Although my time at St. Gregory's was only 3 or 4 days a year for maybe 10 years, that place, that chapel, that Benedictine tradition, became important to me and they remain important to me today. I hope to return there someday. I actually plan to go back. And maybe you too have such a place, such an experience, some tradition that anchors your faith and to which you are drawn to return again and again. It is our hope as leaders of this congregation. It is our prayer that Wildwood Presbyterian Church may be that kind of place for you, where you experience God's presence here in this place and find value in our Presbyterian traditions. So I came here today, as I do most Sundays, on an ordinary Sunday in the liturgical season that's called Ordinary Time. I did not come here today with an expectation that I will be having one of those memorable, life-changing, deeply anchoring experiences that connects my soul to God. I'm open to being touched by a song or a prayer or a puppet, and I'll be grateful if that happens. But I think it is accurate to say that one of the reasons I come here week after week after week is to pay attention to my foundations, because it's easy just to forget them or take them for granted during the rest of my life. I come here to reach in and reach deep enough to touch the foundations on which I build my life day by day, finding here reassurance that my spirit is being nurtured by God's Spirit. Finding here comfort when I'm afraid or overwhelmed by the challenges of my life. Finding here confidence that strength beyond my own is available to me as I undertake the tasks and challenges, each of which is a brick that I'm using to build my life. And so I invite all of you here today to join me in doing our human part of building strong foundations of faith. As the psalmist proclaims, the bedrock of God's love, the bedrock of God's care for us, the bedrock of God's strength is beneath us every day, whether we know it or not, whether we are connected to it or not. Our part is to dig down and set anchors of conviction and confession, and then pour those footings of faith, which will be the basis on which we build our lives. We do this by coming here, by looking forward to memories of those times when our faith was strengthened, by reaching deep into our spirits and finding there a connection with God of those times when we were empowered or saved. We do that by reaching up in grateful worship and by reaching out in loving service. When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, some of his most precious and enduring words, he closed that sermon by talking about foundations. I can think of no better way to close this sermon than simply read to you what he said. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.